Hello and welcome back to What Do You Know For Sure podcast with me, Anne Hughes. In this episode, I was joined by Felicity Azura, who was joining me from San Francisco, and she wanted to talk about the fact she believes her body is powerful, that she has everything she needs, that she can depend on herself, and then the various ways that that has shown up in her life. Felicity, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me onto your show.
Yes, and we're transatlantic today, so you are joining us from San Francisco. So thank you so much for getting in touch.
This is a lovely way to start my day.
It's the start of your day and the end of mine, alas. I'm flagging much more than you are, I would imagine. But tell us a wee bit about you, Felicity.
My name is Felicity Azura. I am in my early 20s. I've been running a podcast for a couple of years now. I talk about professional cuddling, which I've been doing since 2018. And I found you through this one Facebook group for podcast hosts. And something that I've been doing a lot more frequently is giving out advice specifically for podcasting, so not just professional cuddling, because I see a lot of overlap between the cuddle industry and the podcasting industry. And I will say the cuddle industry is a very woman-dominated field, whereas podcasting is a very male-dominated field. So it's very heartwarming to be able to speak on other podcasts that are led by women.
Yeah, great, thank you. And I'm excited to hear more about cuddling. I'm wondering if that might come up when I ask you the question. So tell me, Felicity, what do you know for sure?
I know for sure that my body is powerful, and you can interpret that in a myriad of ways. Like, my first tattoo I got when I was 18 says, "My body, my choice, my life, my voice." And when people tell me their interpretations of that, I don't correct them. I don't invalidate their interpretation. I just tell them, that's a good idea. And I know my body is powerful when I am laying in bed still. I know my body is powerful when I am embracing another person and holding whatever they need me to hold. I mean that figuratively. And I know my body is powerful when I am dancing. And I hope to be dancing until I die. Last night, I had my dancer debut at this one wine bar pretty close to where I live. And it was a good experience. I wish more people I know attended. And I put on special effects makeup for that performance, which I rarely do. But that night, I just felt that it was special, and my body is a temple that I will adorn whenever I want, however I want.
Wow. And it's been lovely letting you explain all the ways in which your body is powerful, because I think it's a very feminine thing, isn't it, about wanting to feel strong, wanting to feel powerful, and how we stand, how we walk out in the world. Probably is that something you've always known, because you're not very old, are you? What age are you, if you don't mind me asking, Felicity?
I'm 24.
Yeah, so you're quite young. So how long have you known, and what made you realize, at what point did you think, yes, my body is powerful?
I started feeling more comfortable in my body when I was around 9. That's when I started dancing, and I didn't enroll in dance lessons. I didn't compete in competitions. I just taught myself how to dance hip hop, and I entered my first dance class when I was around 14 or 15. I believe I auditioned at 14, and then I was told I made it when I was 15. And so I've always had insecurities. I still have my insecurities. For example, when I was 7 years old, I developed this compulsive disorder called trichotillomania. About one in every 20 people on the planet have it, but a lot of people were never taught that there is this compulsive disorder that makes you pick at your hair. And it's a form of OCD. It's something I've struggled with for a majority of my life. And I hesitate to say that there is a cure for it.
And can I take you back to something you said earlier? You and your first thing when you told us about you being powerful, you talked about your tattoo and the first tattoo you ever got, and how actually you let people interpret that differently, and you don't stand up for, well, actually, this is what it means. You just let them interpret it. How does that feel? Because for me, if there was, I don't have a tattoo, so I can't share that. But if there was something that I had put out in the world and people were interpreting it in a way that I didn't intend, I think I would probably have to say, well, no, actually. So what is the story in there? How are you okay with people interpreting something as personal as a tattoo in different
I
ways?
am very, very okay with sharing the dark story behind my first tattoo. So I was in an abusive relationship when I was 18 years old, and I tried to take my abuser to court, but the police told me that they couldn't press charges. And I was like, well, that sucks. I mean, this person has sexually assaulted me, and I even went to the hospital to get a rape test, and I barely had any money when I was 18 years old. Most of us don't have anything. So I scrounged the little change I had to take public transit to a tattoo parlor that was very far away from where I lived at the time, but I wanted that one to be the first parlor I get a tattoo at. So I got the phrase, my body, my choice, or my body, my choice, my life, my voice tattooed to my upper thigh. And for me, it's about overcoming the sexual assault that I went through when I was 18. And I've heard interpretations for it, like, oh, this has to do with the right to abortion, which, sexual assault and abortion do have a long shared history. I can't be like, no, that's wrong, because, well, I'm a very pro-abortion, and no one who got impregnated through rape should be forced to deliver if they don't want to.
And so see if and obviously that is very topical, isn't it, in your country. I'm obviously in Scotland, in the UK, where those rights are still very much open, which is good, obviously. Is that affecting you a lot within your culture just now? I mean, I would imagine it must be affecting everyone.
So I knew since I was maybe 14 years old that I don't want to procreate. Like, if I were to ever have children, I would probably adopt. And it's not that I think that mothers' bodies are ugly or that they're damaged goods. No, it's I personally don't want to put my body through that when there are so many children in foster care. And I've had the talk about children ad nauseum with my boyfriend, and we have very, very different viewpoints when it comes to having children, like how much to have and how to raise them and whatnot. And since we're so different, I don't think either of us are ever going to have kids. I've been on birth control since I was 18, and I don't plan on going off of birth control until I'm 28. So when I was 18, you know, I was in an abusive relationship. My partner at the time refused to wear condoms. And so I was like, well, if I can't get him to wear protection, then at the very least I could get birth control so I don't become pregnant. I am so grateful I made that decision. And my parents judged me for being on birth control, but it's the right decision for me. Mm-hmm. And I do my best to educate myself on what people who are trying to get pregnant go through, what people who are pregnant go through, what people who just gave birth go through, because that should be a part of comprehensive sex education. I don't know of any country of the world today that has a mandatory comprehensive sex education in public school. And it's just like, even though I don't want to procreate myself, I think having this knowledge makes me a more empathetic person.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I would love to, if I can, ask you about how your body feels powerful within that, which you've told us that you are a professional cuddler. Maybe explain to us what a professional cuddler is, and then tell us about how power plays out in that for you.
So a professional cuddler is someone who offers a platonic therapeutic service. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't get hugged often enough. I cannot put a quantity, like we all need at least 10 hugs a day, but what I can say is a lot of people don't get hugged enough.
Yeah.
And I still feel odd calling myself a leader, even though I am considered a veteran cuddler and I write, I kid you not, thousands of words per day about cuddle therapy. But yeah, it's a very esoteric job, which is good and it's also bad. It's esoteric in a good way because there aren't, you know, laws criminalizing my profession, but it's esoteric in a bad way in that there's a very, very high chance that if I casually mention it to a new person, then I'll have to give them this whole dissertation on what it is. And I'm not always in the mood to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you still feel when you are cuddling someone, therefore, that you maybe don't really know, you still feel, and I would imagine you probably have to, feel as if your body is powerful?
Yes, I am everything I need. And I'm sure if women are listening to this, they might think, oh, that's arrogant. But one of the things that my former therapist told me is that I can depend on myself.
Yeah.
And as a professional cuddler, I don't have a bodyguard. I don't have anyone in the room with me whilst I'm servicing a client who will intervene if the client does or says something that they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. The onus is on me to enforce my boundaries. I can't expect anyone, not a parent, not a significant other, to protect me 24/7.
Yeah.
And when my former therapist first told me that, I felt very sad because of course I want to be able to rely on my parents. I want to be able to rely on my lover, but being able to rely on yourself is powerful.
Yeah.
You don't have to be financially stable to be powerful. I can't deny that money is a form of power, but you don't need to be financially stable to know what your boundaries are, to enforce those boundaries, and to protect your peace.
Yeah. Fascinating. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, Felicity, and telling me about your body being powerful.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Hello and thank you for joining me on this episode of What Do You Know For Sure podcast. If you would like to connect with me, you can do that across social media by searching Anne Hughes Ignite. If I refer to my radio show and the podcast, you can catch those on my Mixcloud. Again, just searching Anne Hughes Ignite. And if you or anybody you know want to answer this question with me, please do get in touch. Just go onto my website, annehughesignite.co.uk, and fill in the contact page at the bottom, and I'll be delighted to have this conversation with you too. Thank you.